Welcome to Luma Digest. I'm Nora. Right, so we need to talk about what happened this week, because there's a moment when something stops being theoretical and becomes operational reality, and I think we just crossed that line. Okay, so Oracle laid off 491 people in Washington State, 230 of them were software developers. And here's the bit that matters. Co-CEO Mike Sicilia didn't hide behind vague efficiency language, he said it explicitly. The company is using AI coding tools to enable smaller engineering teams to deliver more complete solutions. Those are his words. AI tools, smaller teams, fewer people. The layoffs take effect June 1st. Now, companies have always cited productivity gains when cutting jobs. That's not new, but the specificity here, that's what made me stop. This isn't corporate speak about digital transformation or streamlining operations. This is, we have AI tools that write code now, so we need fewer developers, full stop. And here's what I keep coming back to. Oracle isn't a scrappy startup trying to survive. They're funding data center deployment. They're growing. But they're growing with fewer people, because the tools do more. The question isn't whether this is good or bad. It's what happens when every company reaches the same conclusion. If AI coding tools let 5 people do the work of 10, and 10 companies all make that same calculation, where do those other 50 developers go? Something to think about on the commute home. Completely different corner of the tech world now. But stay with me because this one's wild. Baidu's robotaxi fleet froze during rush hour in Wuhan. A system failure, cause still unclear, immobilized hundreds of autonomous vehicles simultaneously. Passengers were trapped inside. There were reports of traffic disruptions, crashes, people stuck in cars that just stopped moving. No driver to take over. No manual override in most cases. Just a ghost fleet in the middle of a city. And this is the bit that really got me. We've spent years talking about what happens if one autonomous car fails, edge cases, trolley problems, should the car prioritize the passenger or the pedestrian, all of that. But nobody really talked about what happens when the entire fleet fails at once, because these aren't individual cars, they're nodes in a network. And when the network goes down, they all go down together. Think about that for a second. If you're in a traditional taxi and something goes wrong, the driver pulls over, you get out, you hail another cab. But in a robotaxi, if the software layer fails, you're sitting in a locked box that won't move, and so is everyone else in every other robotaxi in the city. I'm still processing this one myself, honestly, because the promise of autonomous vehicles has always been, they're safer, they're more efficient, they don't get tired or distracted, and that's probably still true most of the time, but the failure mode is different, it's not one accident, it's systemic paralysis. Have a think about what that means for cities that go all in on autonomous fleets, right? Let me lighten things up a bit, because not everything this week was about things breaking or people losing jobs. Sometimes someone just builds something clever and shares how they did it. And I love that. A developer built a site with over 10,000 pages, programmatic SEO, Next.js and PostgreSQL. No paid ads, no backlinks, just good structure and real data. 14 days later, 33,000 Google impressions. Now, I know what you're thinking. Programmatic SEO sounds like spam. Template pages with placeholder text, the kind of thing Google's supposed to penalize. But that's not what this was. Here's what actually worked. Dynamic sitemaps that updated as new pages were added. IndexNow pings on day one to tell search engines the content existed. Structured data on every page type, product pages, comparison pages, category pages, and, this is the key bit, real data instead of template text. Every page answered something unique. Comparison pages ranked fastest. Positions 2 through 8, because people search for comparisons, product A versus product B, which one's better for X use case. Those are high-intent queries, and if you're the only site answering them well, Google will show you. Traffic came from over 50 countries, desktop dominant, but mobile had higher click-through rates, which makes sense. People on phones are more likely to click the first good result because scrolling is harder. The takeaway? SEO isn't dead, it's just changed. You need to move faster, publish more. And make sure every page has a reason to exist. If it's just a template with a keyword swapped in, Google knows. But if it's actually answering something, you've got a shot. Worth thinking about for your own setup, right? Okay, so this next one's a bit more niche, but I think it matters. There's a new technique for cleaning up quantum computer results. It's called HAMR-L. And what it does is, it takes the noisy outputs from quantum computers and makes them more accurate using a method borrowed from image processing. Stay with me. Quantum computers today, they're noisy. The results you get aren't clean. There's interference, errors, all sorts of issues, and usually you deal with that by running the same calculation multiple times and averaging the results. But that's slow and expensive. HAMR-L applies something called Richardson-Lucy deconvolution. It's a technique that's been used for decades to sharpen blurry telescope images. And it turns out, it works on quantum measurement results too. The interesting bit is that it's hardware agnostic. It doesn't matter what kind of quantum computer you're using, IBM, Google, whatever. You just run this post-processing step and your results get cleaner. Outperforms existing methods, apparently. Now, this isn't going to make headlines. It's not a breakthrough that changes everything overnight. But it's the kind of incremental improvement that makes quantum computers more useful in the real world, because if you can get better results without needing more hardware or more runs, that's cheaper, faster, more accessible. And that's how technologies go from lab curiosities to actual tools. Last one for today. Salesforce announced 30 new features for Slack, all AI-powered. The pitch is, Slack isn't just a messaging tool anymore, it's a knowledge engine. Improved search that actually finds what you're looking for, automatic summaries of long threads, workflow automation that connects to other tools. The idea is that AI turns all those scattered conversations into something searchable, actionable, useful. Here's the thing though, Slack already has search, it's just not great. And adding AI on top of bad infrastructure doesn't necessarily fix the problem. If the underlying data is messy, if threads aren't organized, if people don't use channels properly, AI can't magic that away. That said, if they get this right, it could be huge. Because the problem with most company knowledge isn't that it doesn't exist. It's that it's locked in someone's head, or buried in a thread from 6 months ago, or in a Google Doc nobody can find. If AI can surface that, actually surface it, not just promise to, then, yeah, that changes how teams work. But I'll believe it when I see it. So, stepping back from all of that, here's what I keep coming back to. Oracle is using AI to cut developers. Baidu's robotaxis froze mid-city. Someone built a 10,000-page site in 2 weeks. Quantum computers are getting cleaner outputs. Slack wants to be your company brain. The thread running through all of this? The tools are getting better, faster, more capable, and that changes the maths for hiring, for safety, for what one person can build, for what we expect technology to do. We're not in the hype phase anymore. This is operational. This is companies making decisions based on what AI can do today, not what it might do tomorrow. Worth having a conversation about with your team this week. That's it for now. Thanks for listening. Links in the show notes.